Tonight, facing off, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders clashing tonight in their first one-on-one debate on MSNBC in a battle over who is more progressive, while Marco Rubio becomes a bigger target in New Hampshire. Taking the fifth with a smirk, the former CEO who raised the price of a life-saving drug 5,000% refuses to testify before Congress, later calling committee members imbeciles. Invisible threat. It can only be seen on infrared, the massive leak that's forced thousands from their homes. Tonight, NBC News takes you to the source with an exclusive view. And Super Bowl security. We take you inside the enormous operation to protect the big game in the air, aboard Blackhawks, on the land, and at sea. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It's debate night. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in their first one-on-one debate just 5 days before the New Hampshire primary. It comes as a brand new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll shows Clinton with miles of ground still to make up. 58% of likely Democratic voters in New Hampshire are backing Sanders, the senator from next door Vermont. Clinton with 38%. That's virtually unchanged from a week ago. And so tonight, from Clinton, a change of tone and a direct challenge to Sanders on who claims the mantle of most progressive. Let's get the view from both camps, starting with NBC's Andrea Mitchell. Andrea?
Good evening, Lester. Well, not only is going into this debate, does our new poll show that Bernie Sanders is ahead of Hillary Clinton here in New Hampshire, but he has a slight lead among women and a giant lead with young people.
As Hillary Clinton prepares for tonight's showdown, her top targets, reaching young voters and women. Our new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll shows Clinton losing the youth vote to Bernie Sanders by a whopping 52 points. Among women, she trails by 4, and young women by 29. So Clinton is noticeably toning down those sharp edges she showed in Iowa.
I will stand up and fight for you every single day of this campaign.
Showing her softer, more reflective side in New Hampshire, a rare glimpse last night.
I've had to be in public dealing with some very difficult issues and personal issues.
Revealing she relies on a Jesuit parable.
Be grateful for your limitations.
It was one of her strongest moments of this campaign. She also touted her progressive credentials.
I am a progressive who gets results, and I will be a progressive president who gets results.
But it's another comment that could stick with her, struggling to answer why she took $675,000 in speaking fees from Wall Street banks.
Well, I don't know. That's what they offered.
Her ties to Wall Street, a constant attack line from Bernie Sanders, and sure to come up tonight. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Durham, New Hampshire.
I'm Casey Hunt with the Sanders campaign, rallying the troops before his first one-on-one debate with Hillary Clinton.
I look around this beautiful room, and I sense that people here want to make a political revolution. Am I right about that?
Tonight, expect Bernie Sanders to once again go after Clinton with the question, who's the most progressive?
Do you think Hillary Clinton is a progressive?
Some days, yes.
His campaign taking to Twitter, highlighting her support for the Wall Street bailout, the Patriot Act, and the Iraq War.
The progressive community was pretty united in saying, don't listen to Bush.
Key for Sanders tonight, reaching older voters. Our new poll showing a majority of New Hampshire voters over 60 back Hillary Clinton. He already has an advantage among an important New Hampshire voting bloc, independents, leading Clinton by 43 points. And Sanders' message is already hitting home for young people, like these students at the University of New Hampshire.
I've got a friend and his name is Bernie. He's fighting the people who are trying to hurt me.
Managing expectations is another concern for Sanders. He's so far ahead right now that if Hillary Clinton does manage to close that gap, it could still be a problem for him, even if he comes in first. Lester.
All right, Casey, thank you. Let's turn now to Chuck Todd, NBC News political director and moderator of Meet the Press. He is co-moderating tonight's Democratic debate on MSNBC. Chuck, Sanders was long considered the front runner in this New Hampshire race. Does that take any pressure off Secretary Clinton in this matchup tonight?
You know, I don't think it does only because of the Clinton tradition here in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has been very good. The Clinton family saved Bill Clinton's candidacy in 1992. Frankly, it saved Hillary Clinton's candidacy and helped extend that race in 2008. So I don't think necessarily it buys her time. But look, this debate is coming at a time when the two of them are having a real debate about what should the Democratic Party be? Should it be what it's been? Is it the party of Obama and Clinton? Or does it need to go in a new direction as Bernie Sanders and clearly an army of supporters want to take it?
All right, Chuck, thanks very much. Tonight's MSNBC Democratic debate kicks off live from the University of New Hampshire, co-moderated by Chuck and Rachel Maddow at 9 Eastern time. In the Republican race, another new poll shows Marco Rubio leaping over Ted Cruz in New Hampshire to take the number two spot behind frontrunner Donald Trump. But as NBC's Hallie Jackson tells us, Rubio's adversaries are piling on to try and stop his rise.
With momentum in New Hampshire, Marco Rubio's hoping for a photo finish, drawing crowds in every shot as Republican rivals take theirs.
Well, thank you guys for being here.
The new attacks sparked by this slip, Rick Santorum endorsing Rubio, but seeming to struggle when asked why.
Can you name his top accomplishment in the Senate?
My feeling on Marco is someone who has tremendous potential, tremendous gifts. If you look at being a minority in the United States Senate in a year when nothing got, 4 years where nothing got done, I guess it's hard to say their accomplishments.
Rubio's establishment competitors, desperate to gain ground in New Hampshire, pouncing like Jeb Bush with NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
His whole life has been around his own ambitions. And he's gifted. He can turn a phrase really well. But what has he done?
The fact is that this is a guy who's only done one thing in the United States Senate. That was write an amnesty bill for illegal immigrants.
The Florida senator points to his work reforming the VA and fighting human trafficking.
I'm proud of my service of public record. We have real achievements, not just in the U.S. Senate, but in my time as Speaker of the House and as a state legislator.
Rubio today trying to stay above the establishment fray, and so is John Kasich, campaigning at Concord High School.
Are you the president?
I am.
Yeah, did you run a negative campaign?
Wouldn't it be great if you could run for president just like you run for class president, where you just tell people what you're for instead of spending your time trashing somebody else?
But in Exeter, Donald Trump's trashing everyone else, slamming all politicians in typically Trump fashion.
I was going to say they're full of shit, but I won't say that.
While Trump still leads in New Hampshire, Jeb Bush is hoping for a boost with some help from his mom. Barbara Bush will be here in Derry tonight. The first time since her son's announcement speech, the two are appearing together on the campaign trail. Lester?
Hallie Jackson, thank you. The former drug company CEO, who some have called the most hated man in America, provoked a lot of anger on Capitol Hill today. Martin Shkreli refused to testify before members of Congress and then later insulted them. NBC's Ann Thompson has the details.
Appearing to smirk.
Are you listening?
And often inattentive.
Yes.
Former Turing Pharmaceutical CEO Martin Shkreli lived up to his bad boy reputation appearing before Congress.
I intend to use the advice of my counsel, not yours.
Posing for pictures instead of listening.
It's not funny, Mr. Shkreli. People are dying, and they're getting sicker and sicker.
Shkreli declined to answer why the company he once led raised the price of a life-saving drug 5,000%.
Do you think you've done anything wrong? On the advice of counsel, I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege.
Under federal indictment for unrelated securities fraud, the 32-year-old Shkreli usually loves to talk.
I'm from the streets.
But today, he let his attorney speak for him.
Some of what you saw was nervous energy by an individual who very much would like to explain what happened.
Leaving the other drug company executives to face furious questioners.
I find it repulsive what you've done.
Valiant under fire for jacking up prices on two heart medicines and other well-established drugs.
Where we've made mistakes, we're listening, and we're changing.
Determined to have the last word, Shkreli took to Twitter, calling the congressmen imbeciles. No apologies from a man who once ran a company with the potential to save lives. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Fears over the Zika virus have led Florida to expand its state of emergency to cover 5 counties. Governor Rick Scott says that the 12 cases discovered in Florida are all from infections outside the U.S. But teams are out in force in South Florida spraying for the mosquitoes that carry Zika. Scott is also asking the CDC for 1,000 more rapid Zika test kits. Include those in a town outside Damascus where the Red Cross says it is close to getting aid to. Footage we've obtained shows in startling and disturbing detail what people there are facing. Here's our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel.
The Syrian town of Muaddamiya is slowly being exterminated. That's a Syrian government helicopter dropping barrels full of explosives onto a farm below, killing, local activists say, one person.
Missiles, mortars.
Danny Kapani, the activist who took this video, told us bombs rain down up to 30 times a day. He sent us another video of Mohammed, a malnourished 11-year-old whose father says he's too weak to walk. Danny says these videos are the only thing he can do for his people.
We see them and we can't do anything to them. They are dying in front of our eyes.
The government cut off Muaddamiya as punishment for its resistance. Syrian opposition forces are doing the same thing to government strongholds. In the middle, so many suffering people.
This situation, this siege, continues like this for a week or less. Hundreds of people will die, of course, and including me. Maybe you wouldn't see me anymore.
There's no power either. So Danny spoke to us by the light of a small solar-powered lamp.
When was the last time you ate something?
It was yesterday. I had some olives.
Some olives. And that was it?
That was it. People are dying in besieged cities all around Syria, and nobody remembers them. Nobody cares about them. Nobody try anything to stop this disaster.
Which is why Danny risked everything to take these images, so the world hears 5-year-old Tasneem crying out to her mother, who has no medicine, food, or milk to give. Richard Engel, NBC News.
The horrible reality of life on the ground in Syria. Let's turn now to that huge methane gas leak that has affected thousands of families in a Los Angeles neighborhood. Tonight we have exclusive access as a scientist went up in the air to check on the air. And NBC's Steve Patterson was with him.
The TFR over Porter Ranch.
It is the country's invisible disaster, a plume of methane gas streaming into the atmosphere, seen here in infrared, pouring out of a ruptured natural gas well right above the affluent community of Porter Ranch.
Let's see if we can find any gas here.
The amount of methane spewing out is impossible to measure from the ground.
This is one of our biggest leaks, and so we're here to measure it.
So to gather the data, you need to fly into it.
Just right there, I can't go with it.
And I smelled it too.
Scientist Dr. Stephen Conley in a specially outfitted plane to collect crucial data. Since his initial flight in November, Conley's data estimates more than 200 million pounds of methane have poured out. That's about as much greenhouse gas emitted by nearly 500,000 cars each year.
It's 20 or 30 times as large as the next biggest one that we've seen.
That realization in the air led to 100 days of heartache on the ground. David Balin and his daughter Ariana are among 5,000 families living in temporary housing.
Walking in the community, even for 5 or 10 minutes, to walk my dog, I couldn't breathe.
Conley says the rate of the methane has significantly slowed. Gas company officials say the reservoir will be drained and well capped by the end of the month.
We're working really hard and safely to stop this situation and bring them home.
Little comfort for families waiting to go home as the invisible threat hangs in the air. Steve Patterson, NBC News, over Porter Ranch, California.
Still ahead here tonight, protecting the Super Bowl. We fly with the eyes in the sky and go inside the FBI Nerve Center, tasked with securing the biggest sporting event of the year. Also, the evidence from that plane with a hole blown into it that is deepening fears there was a bomb on board. It is the biggest sports event of the year, and now the Super Bowl is also one of the country's largest security operations. As the San Francisco Bay Area gets set to host the game, dozens of law enforcement agencies are gearing up. National correspondent Miguel Almaguer shows us how they are securing the city by land, sea, and air.
With more than 1 million people pouring into San Francisco for the Super Bowl,
The only thing bigger than the game may be security. The FBI leading 60 agencies on the ground, in the air, and at sea.
This is by far the most significant security presence we've had at any event in the Bay Area, for sure.
With bomb-sniffing dogs, car-sweeping X-ray machines, and sharpshooters positioned on rooftops, surveillance on the ground is also key.
The Bay Area is wired. Cameras, high-tech sensors, and video feeds are recording hundreds of images every second on streets just like this one. And much of that surveillance is being beamed right back into one room.
This is the FBI's Central Command Center, where they quarterback the law enforcement blitz.
You know, the bad guys have to get lucky once. We have to get lucky every day.
This year, air teams face unique challenges. Levi's Stadium is 45 miles from San Francisco. They're watching every bridge and major roadway for anything unusual.
On game day, airspace will be restricted, but not for Blackhawks like these flying in tandem, taking part in an aerial ballet that synced with boats in the bay.
This Coast Guard cutter, one in a fleet, patrolling up to 200 nautical miles out at sea.
Our job is to use our training and experience to notice when things may not be 100% what they should be.
The threat could come from anywhere.
It's not just the Super Bowl that makes the Bay Area a security concern. It's also its status as a symbolic American city.
A city where all eyes will soon be on the Super Bowl, but not everyone will be watching the game. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, San Francisco.
We're back in a moment with millions more airbags being recalled over potentially dangerous flaws. Hillary Clinton is not the only one dealing with email questions. State Department officials have determined that classified information was sent to the personal email accounts of former Secretary of State Colin Powell and senior aides to former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Powell told NBC News that nothing secret went to his personal account. A spokesman for Rice said the emails were about diplomatic conversations and contained no intelligence information. Multiple sources tell NBC News that the force that ripped a hole in a passenger plane over Somalia was likely from a bomb made of military-grade explosives. Investigators did find explosive residue in the aftermath, but if it was a bomb, no terrorist group has claimed responsibility yet. More airbag recalls, millions more. Honda says another 2.25 million airbags made by Takata will have to be replaced in certain Honda and Acura models. And another airbag manufacturer, Continental Automotive Systems, announced its own recall involving potential airbag problems in up to 5 million Honda, Fiat Chrysler, and Mercedes models. And a sad note to report tonight in the music world. Maurice White, the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, has died. White started the band in the late 1960s, and the group went on to sell more than 90 million albums worldwide. The group won 6 Grammy Awards and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000. Maurice White had battled Parkinson's disease for more than 2 decades. He was 74 years old. Up next here tonight, you don't have to wait for the Super Bowl to see this year's buzziest ads. Finally tonight, for many, they're the most entertaining part of the Super Bowl, the commercials. But if you don't want to wait until Sunday to see them, NBC's Joe Fryer offers us an early peek.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The kickoff might be 3 days away.
We're moving on up.
But the Super Bowl ad game is already in the second quarter.
This is the white and gold dress that caused the Civil War. This is Scott Baio.
Take a look at yourself.
Once again, many companies are releasing their commercials before the big game, hoping to generate days of buzz instead of just hours, even if many fans would rather wait.
Mr. Tyler, your Skittles portrait.
Dream on!
Higher.
Dream on!
This year's trend, celebrities.
The future is staring back at us.
Liam Neeson is hawking TVs.
Genius.
Drake sells cell phone plans.
Come on, punch it.
And Christopher Walken is a car salesman along with Serena Williams and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, in my face! So aggressive!
This will be the Celebrity Bowl. You'll see probably north of 75% of the ads at this point having some sort of celebrity element.
Perhaps the only thing that can top star power is puppy power, the adorable and the bizarre.
Puppy monkey baby.
This year, a 30-second Super Bowl spot is going for as much as $5 million, an all-time high.
Advertisers are cranking up the comedy.
Miss Monroe, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little cranky when you're hungry.
Better?
Much better.
My fellow Americans.
An early favorite, this Bud Light political spoof with Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen.
Just wait till you see our caucus.
Don't worry, though, many ads still haven't been released, leaving plenty of room for game day surprises. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
That's going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.